This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Joining us on the phone all the way from, is it Florida? Are you? I always think of you as Mr. Florida. Are you in Florida?
Well, I just spent 14 years in Burbank, California, making movies with my two sons.
That's crazy.
But but we decided to come home to Tarpon Springs, which is a little Greek fishing village on the Gulf Coast.
Yes. So today, anyway, you're Mr. Florida. It's Bertie Higgins joining us. Bertie, I can't thank you enough for taking the time. Have there been, is there a charity or a foundation you've been tied to or would like to promote?
Well, I've done many charities over the years. I'm an easy touch. If I know the money's going where it's supposed to go, I'll do it. The last one I did was an equestrian charity, and I'm not a big horsey guy. But I always supported the Suncoast Seabird Sanctuary on Reddington Shores, run by Ralph Heath. Well, unfortunately, he died about 6 months ago. But, yeah, I mean, I've done Cancer Society Chair. I've done everything. Many golf tournaments, and I'm a lousy golfer. But they loved me on the team because I had a great handicap. You know, when you join a team of good golfers with a 30 handicap, they say, come on board.
Right. I don't know how you, you're Mr. Florida and you're not good at golf. That's a little hard one. That's hard for me to believe.
Well, I was on the golf team 4 years in high school.
Oh, well, then you're way better than average.
Well, no, I'm all right. I mean, I can get the ball down the fairway. It's just I don't play at all now as a hobby because it's just a way. I mean, I'll go grouper fishing before I'll play golf. But my latest hobby is like Bob Dylan's, watching TV. I watch Turner Classic Movies faithfully. I love them, the old black and whites, because I was always a big Bogart fan, obviously from Key Largo.
Bobby, yeah.
But I sang flat on the last verse. Don't forget that.
So the golf charities, real quick, back to the equestrian charity. So equestrian, it was to raise money and awareness for youth to be able to ride the horses or learn how to ride horses. That's an interesting charity for me to learn about. Tell me more about that.
Well, that's for the youth to ride horses. It's therapy as well. It's Carol Martin's daughter, who was a billionaireess that been a friend of mine since we were in third grade. Her daughter was running the charity and they wanted me to come perform at it. And of course Carol Martin, no. So I took the band over there and we set it up and did it. Then they tried to pay me. I said, just pay the band. You know, I don't want anything out of this. But that's normally the way I do it. But charities are important to me if they go where they're supposed to go.
Yeah, that's the risk. You got to do a little research as an artist to make sure you're getting involved with something that's legitimate and that the money's going in the right place. So hats off to you. And a student of charities and foundations and appreciating people that support them, I appreciate that you get involved when asked and do it right. That's awesome that you do that.
Well, if you come up with something, show charity, I'll do it, man. Let's do it.
Let's just do it. I love that attitude. And I'm always looking for ideas on live events to support charities and foundations. And now that I know, you know, you're in Florida, I love Florida, especially in the winter. Maybe, and you do golf outings. I love to golf. Maybe we'll have the Adam Ritz Show golf outing somewhere near your hometown, and we'll raise some money for a good charity.
Well, Carol Martin, there's a big course here called Innisbrook. Valspar got involved, and they do an annual thing. And she wanted me to get some celebrity friends of mine out of L.A., which I did. I got her a couple guys. One was a co-star on Home Improvement, and he now has another TV show. Got them, flew them in.
I know who you're talking about. The guy that does the hose commercials.
And right.
He was a host of Family Feud for a little while too. What's his name? His name's escaping me. But continue. I'm sorry.
Just a great guy, but I rounded up a couple celebrities because I know a lot of them.
Richard Karn, that's his name. Richard Karn.
Yeah, there it is. Rich, and Rich turned out to be a sweetheart. He came out and really had a good.
But so Richard Karn, we're talking celebrity golf outing, and we could get Bertie Higgins and Richard Karn from Home Improvement, some of your other buddies, and raise some money for a great cause down in Florida. I think we should do that.
Have you heard my version of Leah with me and Roy Orbison singing it?
I have not heard that yet. No, I did read about that.
God almighty.
You've worked with Roy Orbison, too. That's awesome.
And I knew Roy from years from touring with Tommy Rowe in the Romans. But Orbison was just an incredible vocalist. That was at Creative Workshop on a real cold winter night in Nashville. And he come flying in a Ferrari on the gravel parking lot and slid in sideways. Well, he didn't see real well. And I said, Roy, how you doing? How are your eyes? He says, fine. How are yours? And they set up two microphones. They're about 3 feet apart looking at each other. And if anybody can inspire you to sing some notes you didn't think you could, it was Orbison.
No kidding.
He had a tough life, man. He died way too young. But if you get a chance, go somewhere. Go to Google and put Bertie Higgins Leah. You'll find it. And listen to this boy sing. The last note just made my hair stand on end. He's amazing. I look back on that and I go, did that really happen?
That there's the name of your autobiography. Did That Really Happen by Bertie Higgins?
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking about it. I've already got what I want on my tombstone. It's Just Another Day in Paradise.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
let's hope that doesn't happen for, 30, 40, 20, at least 20 to 40 more years from now.
Well, here's what a lot of people don't know. About 8 months ago, I had open heart surgery. They did a 3-way bypass. Have you ever had open heart surgery?
I am happy to report I have not had that, no.
Scared the hell out of me, man.
I bet it did.
I don't remember any of it. So I bought a treadmill when I got home. That lasted about a week, and I said, God, this is awful. So now I don't even walk. So I'm just here, man. I'm just here.
So we've sort of evolved into some heart health conversation here as well. So what's it like? Did you have to change your diet or anything?
I need to quit smoking, and I've cut way back on that, which has been difficult because I'm a smoker and I love it, but it's been years I've been doing this thing, and I'm going, why are you still doing it, bonehead? What are you doing, man? But that'll go next. I've got to get that out of my life because it can't be good.
That's not good, Bertie. Yeah. Even though it looked cool in the Key Largo video, in your white suit with the Hawaiian shirt and the cigarette, it was part of the yacht rock lifestyle for sure.
But I've gotten criticism about that. People love to criticize you.
Oh, man. They criticize. I mean, that was 40 years ago. It's not like you made the video today.
Well, it is what it is, man. It was what it was. And once you've done it and it's in ink, you can't change it, man, even though you'd like to. But I don't want to change a damn thing. I mean, except smoking. I need to quit it. And all you people out there listening, if you're smoking, don't. Don't start. Don't do it.
A public service announcement from Bertie Higgins. Perfect. Perfect.
Sometimes I'll lay in bed at night and go, I amaze myself sometimes. I go, did I really do that? Did that really happen? It's an amazing career, man.
It really has been awesome. Can you explain real quick about, I haven't committed this to memory, but didn't you get, are you knighted overseas? Or if not knighted, aren't you held in some amazing high regard in Japan? Or aren't you like Elvis status somewhere overseas?
Well, I'm very popular in all the Pacific Rim countries. I was in China eight times in 2019. But the last 3 years have been remarkable. I was knighted. I've got an honorary doctorate degree in music from Hanover University in Germany. I was inducted into the Beethoven Hall of Fame and the Mozart Hall of Fame. Then I was just inducted into the Florida Artists Hall of Fame, along with Tennessee Williams and several other notables. So I've got a bronze plaque on the rotunda in Tallahassee, wall of the Capitol. So it's been an incredible time in my life with things going on like that. Then I was inducted into the Florida Music Hall of Fame. Burt Reynolds gave that award to me just before he died. He's been a friend. He was a friend of mine for several years. But it's been a remarkable time. So I tell my band, well, I'm Sturdy Higgins, PhD. You can either kiss my ring or kiss my you-know-what.
That's
and
right.
They said, we'll take the former. We'll kiss your ring.
I was going to ask, what comes first on your business card, sir or doctor? So you're saying it's Sir Bertie Higgins, PhD.
You got it.
Do you have kids? Do you make your kids call you Dr. Higgins?
No. But no, I've got four kids. How many kids you got running around that you know of?
Yeah. Two daughters for myself, and they could care less about their dad's career. So you don't have any children?
No, I've got four.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, you have four. That's what I was going to ask. Do they? I guess it's just been a phenomenon to me how children don't really care what their parents do for a living.
Well, so mine kind of rubbed off. My eldest son, Damien, who lives in Brooklyn, is one of the top rave DJs in the world. Then I've got Julian, who's a film director, who just directed the Michelob Light commercial. Then I've got my youngest, Aaron, who's working for the Disney company on the Mandalorian project.
Oh, wow.
I said, Dad, I'm living my dream. So my kids have done okay. The only sane one is my daughter, Kim, who's been with Southwest Airlines for 17 years. And said, Dad, they're giving us hell these days. It's tough.
You know what? Of the four careers you just described, I think I like the Southwest Airlines the best. That's my airline. That's what I fly. I'm in their loyalty program. I love your daughter.
Well, she's the only sane one in the family, beside my wife.
What does she do for Southwest?
She'd been with him. She's a counter girl, the kind of people yell at, why is my flight canceled? Or why is my flight late? And, you know, she goes, damned if I know, I don't know. You know, so they're driving her crazy. I took her out to lunch the other day down to one of the Greek restaurants down at the Sponge Docks here in Tarpon. And we have a ball talking about life in general.
Does she roll her eyes if someone comes to the counter and says, how can I get to Key Largo?
No, I don't think she's ever had that. She doesn't stick my name out there too far, even though when I go to the counter, they genuflect. I'm kidding, man.
Well, they'd have to. You're a knight and a doctor.
I've never known a knight. Have you?
I have. This is my first time speaking to a knight. I feel I'm honored. Sir Bertie Higgins, PhD. This is quite an honor for myself.
Well, it's pretty crazy. You stop and think about it, man. And I never quit. I never gave up. I keep bumping my head against that wall.
Yeah.
But I've learned a lot over the years. That's why I fired all my managers. I knew more than they knew. But I've got a great lawyer working with me named Joel Katz, who's one of the top entertainment lawyers in the world, actually. But I try to avoid him because he's expensive. But if I have to, I'll go to him.
That's what lawyers do. So when you got knighted, I mean, I don't know much about that process. Did you meet the queen? I mean, did they do the sword on each side of your shoulder?
Yeah, but that knighthood came out of Germany. Each European country has their own knighthood program.
Oh, okay.
And unfortunately, the queen died before I could get to her. But I've got the sword hanging on my wall, actually.
And so you went to Germany. And you were in a 1,000-year-old castle with the sword on each shoulder.
They came to me when I was living in Burbank, California.
Oh, okay.
And we got knighted out at a mission about 20 miles outside of L.A., which was just as exciting. I had a bunch of people there. And the sword, I said, you can go over the head, but just don't go left and right with that damn thing.
You want to protect the beard. Don't shave that off. Is this something that you were nominated for, or do you apply for this? I mean, I'm just amazed by this whole process.
Well, the group came to me and wanted to knight me, and I said, well, let's do it. So now they want to make me a count, which is next step up. I said, is that Count Dracula, or is that just Count Bertie? I said, I'll stay with the knight commander, which I've got.
I had no idea. So what is there something above a count? You could be king. Sure. You'll be king someday.
Oh, God, that scares me just thinking about it. Can you imagine me being a king? King of what? King of the Sponge Docks, I guess. I don't know.
We're speaking to the future king of Germany, Bertie Higgins.
You know, we were in Munich shooting a movie a couple of years ago. Germany's great, man. If I lived there, I'd weigh 900 pounds of the food. It was some of the best I've ever had in my life. They've got these little old restaurants out in the middle of the Black Forest, and these little old ladies come up with stained aprons and none of the chairs match. But when they put that stuff on the table, it's killer. Some of the best food I've ever had.
Well, okay. I think I'm satisfied with the night story. And we've mentioned movies and your pal Burt Reynolds. Let's talk about the Hollywood connection here. I guess most recently you mentioned you shot a movie in Germany. What was in this conversation anyway, most recently? What was that movie? What was going on there?
Well, there was a documentary that we shot that we're still wrapping up on, just about to finish after 2 years. It's about Bill Haley and the Comets and the creation of rock and roll.
Oh, this is cool.
And the biggest museum on Bill Haley and the Comets is in Munich, Germany.
I had no idea.
I didn't either until I flew over there and said, wow, look at this thing. But I got tired of Chuck Berry and these guys going, I'm the father of rock and roll. I went, no, man. Bill Haley was. And there was nothing like it before him. And he had a rough life, though. You know, he died of drinking too much whiskey, died in Texas. And I spoke to his family, his kids, and stuff like that. We spoke to them. And they had great family stories to tell about the old man. But the other three are feature films, which are really tough. When you do 27 albums, that's a walk in park. One feature film will put you in the ground. They're tough to do, especially on a lower budget. We have Tom Sizemore in one of them. You remember Tom?
I know Tom. Yeah, I remember him. He's been in a lot of military movies. He's a great actor.
Black Hawk Down and Saving Private Ryan. But he's a great actor. A little cantankerous at times. I'll never forget, we had this hotel. We shot at my hometown of Tarpon Springs. It's about smuggling marijuana back in the early 70s on shrimp boats, tons of marijuana. And they used to do that at the sponge docks down here in the middle of the night, unload them. And we had a hotel leased here. And going toward the end of the shoot, he called me in my room and said, Bertie, come on up here. I need to talk to you. So I go upstairs and I cracked the door and he said, listen, you got $200 on you? I said, sure. But I'm giving him a serious stipend every day. And I wanted to say, what happened to the money I'm giving you? But I did. He said, I got this woman in here. I need to get rid of her before I fly back to L.A. And I'm going, he said, I'll get it back to you. And that's been 3 years ago. I never heard a dime of it back. But that's Tom Sizemore. Wonderful actor.
So what was that movie called? Is it out? And what did you do? What was your role? Executive producer?
No, I was the producer, and I also took a role in it. I take a role in all my movies. And I said, if you guys don't like it, then you fund the thing. Leave me alone.
Agreed.
But it was an interesting, I enjoyed shooting in my hometown. Then we had the premiere out at the local theater, which we packed two screens. It was an amazing time. It was called, the original was Through the Eye. And the eye is an area between Cuba and the coast of Mexico, which is about 90 miles. It's a pass where all those boats would come through, deep water. Mm-hmm. But the distributors renamed it the Colombian Connection. I said, ooh, how boring. But since you guys bought it, you name it what you want. But it's out there. In fact, a friend of mine who invested is living now in Bahrain, which is near Saudi Arabia, said, you know, I just flew to China, and they were showing one of your films on the plane. And he said, I've seen it several times on aircraft. And I said, well, where are the royalties? Come on, get them in the door.
No kidding.
But it's been an interesting run. In fact, we may shoot another one. We shot one called Christmas in Hollywood, which was a cute movie. But now they want to redo, call it Christmas in Hollywood, .. Florida, that is, Hollywood, Florida.
Mm.
So we're working on the screenplay now. We'll see where it goes.
And you work on these movies with your son that's out in Hollywood?
Yeah. Julian directs. He's just a great director. This kid is amazing to watch. You know, we had a young boy in the Christmas in Hollywood movie, which Julian had difficulty working with the kid, so I took over director. And he was hard to work with. And I finally pulled him aside and slapped him in the face. And I said, look, if you don't get your act together, you're out of here. And he straightened up finally. But shooting movies are difficult to do, man. It's a big process.
When does the Bill Haley documentary come out? I'm going to watch that.
As soon as we can finish the final edit, and there's got to be some color correction
Okay. And
artwork to be done, but it's on its way.
That's, you know, the song Rock Around the Clock meant so many things to so many different generations of people. Like, I grew up in the 70s, so to me, my point of reference for that song is the theme song from Happy Days.
And did you ever see the movie Blackboard Jungle with Glenn Ford?
I did not.
Well, that was the theme of that movie, and that broke ground. And amazingly enough, we interviewed Peter Ford, Glenn's son, who lived right down the street from me in Burbank. And he had glowing things to say about his father, because he was a true movie star, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But he lived, He lived in Beverly Hills in a single bedroom mansion, but out his back door through the fence, who was one of his lovers, they used to sneak back and forth across the fence late at night. Just interesting stuff, man. When I think back on what I've seen and done and the stories I've got to tell, I can tell you some Mel Tillis stories that'll scare you to death. Mel was a maniac, but a great guy. I enjoyed being with Mel, but I don't know, man. I've had some fun times, and sometimes they were difficult, but in retrospect, they were always had a certain potion of fun in them. I get criticism. Well, I thought Jimmy Buffett sang that song. Well, no, he didn't. I did, but of course, Jimmy's worth almost $1 billion now. And I know Jimmy real well. We've hung out back and forth for years. He used to be intimidated when I put out a new album. And our lawyers are the same, Joel Katz in Atlanta. And Joel said, you intimidate him, and we don't know why. And I said, well, Joel, I don't know why either, but bless his heart. To do what he's done on the strength of Margaritaville is amazing. But I've had a couple bars down in Key Largo was one of them. Had a lot of fun, made a lot of money with it. But I had to get out of there. I was on the road to alcohol, man. That's a bad road to get on.
For sure.
Well, all right, Adam, so what are you doing, Hoss? What's going on?
Well, you know, if Jimmy can have a series of resorts called Margaritaville, I'm smelling a series of resorts called Key Largo.
Well, he's got a great staff around him. People that work for him are really talented people. You know, he wouldn't have time to do concerts, write books, and run these enterprises. So he wrapped his arms around people he'd been with for years that are very talented business people. So God bless him. Onward and upward, Jimmy.
For sure. All right, I want to get back to the movie career in a second. But first, since we were just talking about Key Largo, or at least I was, we talk about something on our broadcast called the Yacht Rock Lifestyle. And your video for Key Largo encompasses so many characteristics of the Yacht Rock Lifestyle. The sea, the ocean, boating, the fashion. I mean, the suit, the white suit you're wearing with the Hawaiian shirt, the hairy chest with the medallions. I mean, the girl, the beautiful woman in the video. I mean, there's just so many yacht lifestyles, amazing aspects of that video. Let's talk about that video.
Well, a couple of stories. Who was the artist that did all the soup cans? He's a very famous artist, right? Has been for years.
Okay.
CBS sent his director down to direct the video. And we shot it right here in Tarpon Springs in a little island offshore here. The boat I was in belonged to my brother-in-law. But they went to Tarpon Springs High School and pulled this girl out of the senior class. She didn't want to do it. She was too afraid. But her parents talked her into it. Now she's got her own fan following and her own website.
What because of that video?
Huh?
40 years later, she's got a website fan following.
Her name is Patty Wolf now. But I was doing a local TV show here at Channel 13 in Tampa about 3 years ago, and they were interviewing me. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw this person walking on the set. Well, it was her all these years later. Looked just like she always did. And they flew her in, found her, and brought her on the set. And we went to lunch, and it was a fabulous day for me. I had a great time. But yeah, we shot that in 2 days, and they run out of time because she was supposed to cheer up toward the end of it, which they didn't have time to shoot. But when I look at it now, it's just so old and primitive. But a great story about that. There was a major DJ named Scott Shannon, who is now the morning DJ at CBS radio in New York. Mm-hmm. But he and I were out on my boat drinking and whatever was illegal those days, but they had given me 2 3-quarter-inch tape copies of the video, and I gave him one as a gift. Well, about 3 months later, he became the first VJ on VH1, and they had no programming, so they ran Key Largo 10-12 times a day, and that's what helped drive that song into the hearts of America, I'm sure.
That is a great fun fact, that the video catapulted that song.
Another interesting story. At that time, I was split up with my girlfriend who became my wife. And I wrote that for her and I. And there was only one radio station playing it nationwide. That was WWID, about 40 miles outside of Atlanta. And if you parked your car in the right direction, held your mouth right, it would come trickling in over your radio. So I set a deal with the program director to play it at noon the following day. And I invited Bev to go to lunch, and we went to lunch. But before it went in, it turned noon, and I turned the radio on. And there it was coming through, static and all, and it played all the way through. And I said, boy, this is great. And she turned to me and says, is that you? And I said, yes, honey, I wrote that for you. She said, well, you're singing flat on the last verse. And I went, well, there goes the romance, man, out the window. Funny story. Broke my heart right there.
That is great. Yeah, you should have kept that to yourself.
And the song, it went to number 8 on the Billboard Hot 100 in 82, correct?
And it went to number 1 in the Adult Contemporary Shots.
So prior to that, what was the career doing prior to Key Largo? And how did that song, when it hit, change things?
Well, you know, I was always a single Martin guitar player in the bars around Tampa Bay. And I had a good following here, but I said, you're never going to get out of here like this, Bernie. So I left and went to Atlanta, where I knew people from playing drums with Tommy Rowe. And that was the Lowry Group in Atlanta. Well, I wrote the song, took it into Bill Lowry. He weighed about 350 pounds, and I'm sitting on the edge of his desk with my old beat-up Martin guitar playing it for him. And he finally suddenly got up and started dancing. And he said, Bertie, no, he said, lad, if this son of a bitch ever gets legs, it'll live forever. And he said, and I said, are you kidding? But I knew we had written some because we were playing this little country bar in Augusta, Georgia named Smokey's. And in fact, the night we moved in on the Sunday, they had to clean the blood off the dance floor so we could set up our gear. So I had to do that song 8-10 times a night, and I had just written it. And I said, Bertie, after writing over 200 songs, you might have one. So that's how all that started. Then all of a sudden, it creeped into the Billboard Hot 100. And at 72, it lost the bullet. And the bullet is when it's moving quickly. And we all panicked, but it got the bullet back the following week. And we watched it climb up the charts. And it was an exciting time in my life because I was living in a one-bedroom apartment in Atlanta. No furniture. And one night, I was sitting on the floor naked with an old quilt wrapped around me that my mother had made. And it was winter, and it was raining outside. And I had a can of beer on the floor and a pack of cigarettes. And I said, God, is this what success is? And I finally remembered that I had an advance check from ASCAP for $100,000. And I'd forgotten about it. And I never went back to sleep. This was at 3 in the morning. And the next day I cashed it. We bought new clothes, bought a new Cadillac, and had a ball. Moved out of that little crappy apartment I was in. But that was how it all started.
I can't thank you enough for the time, for your efforts. Again, for our listeners, you can check out his new streaming stuff, of his old stuff, through the Time Life series. Just Google Time Life Bertie Higgins, and you'll be able to find it and download it and have a great time sailing away to Key Largo with Bertie Higgins. Thank you so much, Bertie.
Well, did you enjoy the interview?
Well, of course I did. I can't tell you how much I learned. I didn't know there was a Bill Haley Museum in Germany, but now thanks to you, I know that.
A big one. Amazing. I'm always amazed at stuff in the world. Amazing. All right, well, I'll cut you loose, man. Listen, all you people out there that happen to be listening, God bless you all. Take care of yourself and love everyone around you. Please. And that's from me, Bertie Higgins. Okay, my brother. Well, God bless you, Adam, and I enjoyed talking to you.
I really enjoyed this, Bertie. Yeah, me too. Thank you so much, we'll do this again for sure.
We had it all, just like Bogey and Bacall. Starring in our own late, late show. Sailing away to Key Largo. Here's looking at you, kid. Missing all the things we did. We can find it once again. How long? Just like they did in Key Largo.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out of Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.